Okay, boss. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Mem Tes. We are holding at the top of Mem Tes Amud Aleph here. Fun daf today. And we had said in the previous Mishnah that you're allowed to do hatmana with certain items bizman shehein lachin. Well, I guess you're not allowed to do that lachin. Let's just flip back to the Mishnah. Mishnah was on right at the beginning of the parak on Mem Zayin Abayz. You can't, meaning you're not allowed to do it when they are wet. But you are allowed to do it with them when they are dry. So the question becomes, this is the Gemara asks, Lachin machmas atzman odilma lachin machmas davar acher. Does that mean they have to be moist of their own moisture? Meaning, in what scenario are you going to have these items being davar mosif havo? In which way are they going to give off the most heat? Are you telling me they're usher to do hatmana with if they become wet on their own, or wet even through something else? The Gemara says, Toshma, lo b'terin v'lo b'tevin v'lo b'zagim v'lo b'mochin v'lo b'asavim b'zman shem lachim. So that we just listed off all those four things that we said that were usher. Tevin, again, was straw. Zagim is the leftovers from a wine press. Mochin was the soft stuff, either from an animal or from something that grows that's soft. Or about seven more with grass, as the one they're wet. So if you tell me that it's wet because they become wet because of something else, and that's when it's usher, so Shapir, that makes sense. Shapir, right? that works out. Lachin machmas atzman. If you're telling me that they become wet on their own volition, right, from themselves, from something inside of them squeezed out or whatever. So mochin lachin machmas atzman heichi mishkagusla. How can you get soft? Let's say tufts of either wool, or how in the world are you getting, this stuff does not have any liquid inside of it. So the Gemara says, Mimarta de bene atme. So you're taking, the case is where you took wool from between the thighs, literally, of the animal, where it's very sweaty, and therefore the wool was wet. It was wet on, that's considered wet on its own volition. So Rabbi Oshia said, you're not allowed to do tatmana you are allowed to do atmana with a dry piece of clothing. Ksus is a piece of clothing. Peres yuvation, dry, not literally fruit, but it means like produce, like grains or stuff. But not if they're wet. Gemara says, "Ksus lacha machmas atzma heichim iskakusla." Where do you find a piece of clothing that becomes wet in its own volition? So the Gemara says again, same answer. Mimarta de bene atme. You took it from. It could be that the scenario is where the clothing is from this wool from between the animal's thighs, and therefore it is wet, and that's what you're not allowed to use. Therefore, the Gemara doesn't answer whether it has to be wet in its own volition, or it could also be wet on the other side, from something else. Okay, says the Halakha Mishnah: Tomnin b'ksus u'beperos b'kanfayona uvenoseres al charashim uvenoros shel pishdon daka. You're allowed to do hatmana with all of these items. They're davar she'eino mosif hevel. What are these things? Ksus is, again, we said before, is clothing. And peros, as we said, is not necessarily fruit, but it can be any type of produce. Kanfayona, the wings of a dove. And you'll see, again, think about it. If you had feathers from a bird, right? So you're not talking about a scenario where you could go to not Home Depot, haven't been to America in a while. You can't go to, Kmart or Target and get a bunch of towels. You have to deal with what you got. So they had kanfayona, they had bird feathers. So some of that would, if it insulates a bird, certainly it would insulate food. Uvenisaros shel charashim. Or the sawdust, uven aros shel pishdon daka, and with the leftover of flax that was very fine, very thin flax. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda oser b'daka u'matir megaser. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's the fine flax that's usher, but the fat, thick ones, if the flax is, that's mutter. I guess that doesn't get packed in as tightly, and it's not going to cause as much heat. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai says, and this is not necessarily related to Muktzah at all, but it's because we mentioned Knafayim, Kanfayona. Rabbi Yanai says, Tfilin Tzruchin Gufnaki. Yeah, Tfilin requires a clean body. Gemara's going to explain what that is. Kelisha Bafayim. Like Elisha Bal Knafayim. Gemara's going to explain exactly what that means. So Gemara says, Maihi. What is that? What do you mean? What's a clean body? The guf naki. So Abaye Amar Shelo Yafiach Bahen. Machlokas Abaye and Rava. Abaye says that you shouldn't pass gas while you're wearing them. Rava Amar Shelo Yashin Bahen. You shouldn't fall asleep in them. And just when Rashi says Shelo Yashin Bahen Shema Yafiach O Yira Keri. Right, Rava is kind of agrees with Abaye. Right? We're concerned that if you fall asleep, so then you may come to pass gas, or you'll become a Balkari. But if you're able that to make sure, right, and Rashi says, Aval im yachola, hizar, shal yisham behem, but if you're able to take care that you won't fall asleep, so then call a gufim nikiyim ba'afacha sheyachol lahamin atzman. People are able to hold themselves off when they're awake from passing gas. So Rava says the real concern is that you'll fall asleep and you won't have any more that ability to stop yourself when you need to pass gas. Okay, v'amai karlei balkanafayim, and why? So why do they call Elisha balkanafayim? Why was he called Elisha balkanafayim? Apparently, he was the standard for someone who was shomer's tefillin. Why was he called Elisha? Literally means the guy who owned wings. So pamachas gzer malchus romi arisha gzer al Yisrael. Once there was a Roman, the Roman government made this decree against the Jews. You're called Menach Tefillin, Yinakros Mocho. Anybody who wears tefillin, they're going to punch a sword through your brain. And presumably, Rashi says, in the place of the tefillin, where you're wearing it. So obviously, that's tefillin Shel Rosh, but obviously, Mistama meant both tefillin. Well, maybe they're only Machmir because you can see the tefillin Shel Rosh and you couldn't see the tefillin Shel Yad. Anyway, they're going to stab you in the face, basically, if you put on tefillin. Vay Elisha manicham, and Elisha put tefillin on, v'yotzi l'shuk, and went out to the marketplace. Ro kazder echad, one Roman officer saw him, ratz miponav, so Elisha ran away. V'ratz acharav, and the officer ran after him. V'kevin shehiya etzlo, once the officer caught up to him, right, I guess he ran into a dead end or something, notla mirosho v'oksam biyodo, Elisha balkanafayim took the tefillin off and held them tight in his hand. Amalo, mazeh biyadecha. The officer said, "What do you have in your hands?" Amalo, kanfayona. I have a bird. I have the wings of a bird. Pasha yado. All right. They opened his hands. Vinimsa kanfayona. They found out that he was actually, the tefillin had turned into, wings of a dove, an actual dove. Lefichach koronos. So we're just going to get to the 2000 and explain a couple of things. Lefichach koronos or Elisha balkan. If I am therefore, they called him Elisha, the guy who had wings. Umayshna kanfayona mishar ofos. Why? What's the difference between kanfayona and other birds? Why is why did they turn into this dove? Mishum to amsil knesset Yisrael yona, because Bnei Yisrael are compared to a dove. Shneimar kanfayona nechfa bekesef. What's the comparison? Ma yona knafel maginos aleha. Just like a yona, its wings protect it. Rashi says from a bird that's going to get it or a person. Apparently, it uses its wings to fight, as opposed to its beak, which is different than other birds. So, Af Yisrael mitzvos maginos alehen. So too, Am Yisrael, its mitzvos protect it. And because Elisha was so makpid and so careful, and so moser nefesh to wear his tefillin, so he ended up getting this tremendous nace, and he's considered the standard for the flag bearer for wearing tefillin, right? So you have to have a tefillin that's yuchin guf naki ke Elisha balkanafayim. Now, very quick question: what was he thinking? We know that you don't have to give up your life for the big three. I mean, you only have to give up your life for the big three. If there's xera, if you're gonna go around and do a mitzvah, you're gonna get killed. So there's no mitzvah to go, give yourself up. So the Ran asks this question: what was he thinking? So the Rana answers that, there's no chiyuv to give up your life, but there's a heter to give up your life. Similar to Hanani Mishael Be'Azariah, when they were asked to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol, it wasn't mamish avodah zarah, it was just like in kavod of Nebuchadnezzar. But they asked, I think Daniel, are they allowed to give their lives up to show Am Yisrael that, no, we don't bow down, even if it's similar to avodah zarah, but not exactly avodah zarah, we're not going to bow down. The Chazal said, there's also an opinion that says that was a story about Hanukkah also, that the Chashmonaim, right, didn't have to give up their lives. They could have just sat around and waited for the Gzera to fall away, but that was their godless, that they got up out of their caves and they fought a war and they expected to be killed al Kiddush Hashem. And that's when they had a tremendous nace, and that they ended up winning the Melchama. So anyway, so he thought that, you know, he wanted to be Moser Nefesh. The one problem with that answer is that, so then why did he run away from the officer? And why did he take him off? Right, that's already the Rishonim also deal with it. Why did he take it off? So I think it's Tosfos over here, or the Ran himself. Maybe it's the Ran who gives the answer that basically for a mitzvah like tefillin, where they could just make you not do the mitzvah anyway, right? They could just throw you in jail, they could kill you, so it doesn't help for you to keep on doing the mitzvah. Another answer is that a mitzvah's aseh is different. That a los aseh is one thing, right? You're not allowed to violate the big three, but for a mitzvah's aseh, once your life is threatened, right, once you're in that situation, right, what did Elisha Balkanavayim do? He went into the marketplace. His life wasn't immediately threatened. What was he thinking? He was thinking that maybe he'll die al-Kiddush Hashem to show everybody that, no, we should really fight this decree and keep the mitzvos l'dorei doros. Once his life was in danger, though, so kind of things switched, and then, you know, since it was mitzvos aseh, he wasn't chayef to give up his life, right, only for the big three that are los aseh. Okay, this is what to talk about, but, Vaitu, let's go Vaitu. Right, Daf Yomi share, sometimes I forgot. If you ever notice the little gaps in the recording, that's because sometimes when I kind of find myself just rambling, I cut it out. Here I'm going to leave it, but sometimes when I start talking about halacha or maybe some agadata or whatever, some other stuff, so I kind of just try and cut that out because the Maisa Daf Yomi Shir, right? We're here to learn the daf and we can go to other shirim for Ian and other stuff. Okay, Vaiter. So we said b'nisaros shel charashim, you're allowed to do hatmana. With this sawdust. See, boy, they asked the question, Rabbi Yehuda on Nesar Shal Charashim Koi or on Nesar Shal Pishtan Koi? When Rabbi Yehuda says at the end of the Mishnah that you can only, it's usher when it's ground up, when it's daka, when it's fine, when it's very thin, but when it's thick, then it's mutter. So is that talking about the flax or is that talking about the sawdust? So, it's Toshma, I'll bring you a proof. Titania with her in the Nebraisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Na'oros Shal Pishtan Daka Harei Kuzevel. Right, this thin Pishtan is just like Zevel. Zevel is one of the things that we said is oster to use for Atmana, manure, because that's Mosif Hevel. So therefore, Shmamina, Na'oros Shal Pishtan Koi Shmamina. Apparently, you see that he's talking about the Pishtan. Okay. Says the next Mishnah. Tomdin Bishlachin. You can do Hatmana with Shlachin or animal hides. Umetaltalan Osan. And you're allowed to move them. It's mutter to move them. They are not considered muktzah, Rashi says, because you could use them for a rug or to cover a bed or whatever. You could use them to lie down. Begizei tzemer, you're allowed to use wool that you've sheared from a sheep. Ve'im etaltan l'son, but they're muktzah. Meaning, again, we said a hatamana, whatever, she'enu mosif hevel, is mutter on Erev Shabbos, yeah? It's not mutter on Shabbos, mutter on Erev Shabbos. So when the Mishnah says that it's muktzah, so you didn't use them on Shabbos to do that hatamana, use them Erev Shabbos, but they are muktzah. So ketzadu osos, so the Mishnah asks, well, you know, the question you're probably thinking, if they're muktzah, so how do you then, if you did hatamana with them, how then do you get to the item you covered on Shabbos? So he says, no tel asakisoi vehe nofos. Right? You can take the lid off, assuming something is sticking out here, yeah, a little bit. You can take the lid off, and you know they fall by the wayside on their own, right? The tiltu min atzad, that's kind of kilach haryad moving that we said that you can kind of move in a strange way. That's how you can move this wool, and even though that's muktzah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Azari says, kupa mata altsida venotel. If you have a box, right, let's say you, again, we pointed out that before they used to have this, one of the ways they did atmana is that they had this box and they had something either underneath it or around it. You put the pot in a box and then you put, let's say, the sheep wool on top of it or around it or underneath it. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azari says you can tilt the box and then take the food. But you shouldn't take the pot out because Shema Yitol Vol Yochol Enel Yochol Lachzir. Because if you take the pot out, so you can imagine all the sheep shearings fall to the side, and you can't kind of like put it back in there because you're not allowed to move them. So Rabbi Chachamim Omer, the Chachamim say no, you can actually do that. You can actually notel the Lachzir. You can take the pot out and you can put it back. Gemara is going to talk about that. So okay, so Yosef Rabbi Yochanan Ben Achinoy, Rabbi Yonasan Ben Elazar. So they were sitting, V'yosiv Rabbi Hanina Parchama Gavayu. Rabbi Hanina was sitting next to them, V'kamen Bailu, and he was asking them shailas. Okay, they're going to have a couple of those. Shlochin Shabal Abaistanan, Aval Sha'uman, came into Kapitalayo, Lomatal Talilu, Olduma Sha'uman Tanan. What kind of shlochin, these animal hides, are they Shabal Abais? Is that like commonly owned animal hides? But Shaluman, but a excuse me, a craftsman, literally, I guess a tanner, came to Kapit Elihu since he's concerned about these animal hides, but he's going to sell them. Yeah, Rashi says, and you're not going to use them as a rug if you're going to sell these hides later, because people will walk all over it and damage it. So maybe he's concerned about the quality of the hides, and therefore the only tops in the new, and therefore they're muktzah. So he's not going to use it as a rug. Right, he has no other use outside of what you're doing, the hatmana. Is it similar to the wool, to the wool shearings? So, Dilma shel umantanan. Or maybe we're even talking about an uman's animal hide. And it's mutter, and v'koshken shel balabayas. And certainly, balabayas' hides are also mutter because he can use them as a rug. So, amar le Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, mistaber shel balabayas tanan. It makes sense that we're talking about a balabos. But an uman is going to be, like we said before, is going to be concerned that these hides will get damaged, so he won't use it as a rug, and therefore it has no purpose on Shabbos, and it's mukta when you do hatmana with them. Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, kach amar Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosi. Abba, my father, shlacha haya, was one of these umanim. Rashi writes, uman la bet oros, he was a tanner. The Amar, and he said, Heviu shlachim b'nei shevaleim. He said, bring me some hides, and I'll sit on them. Right? Of Amar, Rashi says, on b'chol, on a weekday. So we see that even the uman, right, the tanner was not makbid, he could sit on these hides, and he could still sell them, and he wasn't concerned, so therefore, they're not mukzah. Meisvei, hold on, ask you a question. Nisarim shal balabais metaltalan osam, v'shal uman ein metaltalan osam. Nisarim are wooden boards. So a regular, commonly owned balabayas boards, you can move them. You can move them on Shabbos, but a craftsman, an uman, a carpenter's boards, you can't move them because the mistama, he's concerned that they're going to get messed up. Right? Rashi says if you're going to use them, they're going to get messed up. Mishami is kalkulu. V'imchishev lasis alayim pas l'orchem, but if you thought that you'd use them as like a serving tray, like to give bread and food to your guests, regardless, you can use it as that. That's fine because mistama, it's not going to get ruined if that's how you're using it. So you see that if the craftsman is concerned that it may get ruined, so then you can't use it. It's going to say shiny in the sun, the cup of the light. Oh no, so that's different because in wooden boards, the carpenter is going to get concerned, but a tanner, apparently, it doesn't affect the hide so much to sit or walk on it. Tashma with it. Bring another proof or another question, really. Oros bein avudim bein she'en avudim. If you have animal hides that were tanned or not, mutar l'taltalan b'Shabbos. Right, you are allowed to move them on Shabbos. Lo amru avudim elalein tuma bilvad. The only thing that tanning makes a difference for is regarding tuma. Right, we said that a kli is not makabel tuma. A kli has to be a kli to be makabel tuma. If it's not a kli yet, if it's not considered usable, so something is not makabel tuma. So the tanning apparently turns animal hides from animal hide into clothing. So the only difference that the tanning accomplishes halachically is to make them makabel tuma. But regardless, says the Braisa, that you're allowed to move them. So my lav lo shnasha b'alvayis lo shnasha l'uman. Does that seem to imply that regardless of who the hides apply to, belong to, right, the halakha applies, that you're allowed to move them? So that seems to prove that a balabayas and an uman, you're allowed to move. So the Gemara says, lo shel balabayas. No, that's talking about a balabayas. That Bryce is talking about a balabayas, that it's mutter to move his hides. Avosh uman mai, but what's the halakha about an uman, about a tanner, a craftsman? It's a metaltalin. You're not allowed to move it. Ihachi, if that's true, hadetani velo amru avudin elalinyan tuma bilvad. Right, what about the second part of the brisa? When you tell me that the brisa continued and said the only halakhic difference that tanning makes is that in terms of tuma, whether it's makabal tuma or not, so liflud velisne bidida, you should have told me that there's also another stipulation, whether it's tanned, and whether it belongs to a balabayas or an uman. But medvar emurim, what should you have said? B'shal balabayas. And that's only true if it belongs to a balabayas. B'shal uman, but if it belongs to an uman, lo, then it doesn't matter. Meaning the tanning doesn't matter, regardless, the uman, the hides are going to be muksa. So Gemara says, kula balabayas kamari. Really, we're all talking about the Balabais. The entire Bryce is the Balabais, so it wouldn't have made sense to distinguish between a Balabais and a Numan, because the whole starting point is we're talking about a Balabais. So Kitanai, so this, in fact, this is actually Machlokas Tanaim. Oros Shav Balabais Metaltalanosan, right? You're allowed to move. The Tanakama says you're allowed to move hides that belong to a Balabais. But Vishal Uman ain't Metaltalanosan. But a tanner's hides, you're not allowed to move them because he's concerned that they'll get ruined. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Echadzev Metaltalanosan. No. Any animal hides you're allowed to move on Shabbos because they're fit to be used for a rug or some sort of, you know, couch cover. Therefore, they're not Mutzah. Okay. That's question discussion number one between those three Rabbanim that we mentioned, Rabbi Yonasan ben Achinoy, Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, and Rabbi Chanina ben Chama. Now, something that's a basic question throughout the Masechta. Hadar Yasbi become a Bailu. Then they were sitting around and he asked the following question of the two Rabbanim. Who did the asking? Just to be precise, Rabbi Chanina ben Chama, Bar Chama asked the two Rabbi Yonasans. It's not that which we learned in the Mishnah. Avos Malacha Arba'im Chazar Achas. There are 39 Malachas Shabbos. 39 Malachos. Keneged me. Where'd you get that from? Who's that corresponding to? Where'd you get that from? So Amar Lo Rabbi Chanina ben Chama, Bar Chama. Keneged. Well, I guess Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama was not doing the asking. If he does the answering, I guess there was, meaning people were asking them, or they were asking each other. Okay, my bad. Anyway, so the question was raised, yeah? So Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama said, can I get avodos ha-mishkan? It's corresponding to the malachas that it did in the Mishkan. Right? And this is a machlokes between Rashi and Rav Haigon, whether you're referring to avoda ha-mishkan or binyan ha-mishkan. And Rashi here says the binyan ha-mishkan. Does it say over here? I think it's over there. I think it's in the seventh parak. Right, Mishkan Rashi's Nusach is here. Anyway, Rashi says it's all the malachas that they did for Binyan Mishkan of Haigon. He means avoda in the Mishkan, like the korbanos, etc. But okay, either way, it's corresponding to the Mishkan. Amalu Rabbi Yonasan ben Rabbi Lazar, Kach Am Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi ben Lakunya. And that's exactly what he said. Can I get malacha? Oh no, sorry. I mean, Rabbi Yossi ben Lakunya, Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi ben Lakunya said no. It's keneged malacha malachtu malaches Shabbat Torah. The amount of times it says the word malacha or in different forms, right, in the Torah, arba'im chazar achas. There are 39. So already the Rishonim point out, no, they're not. There are a lot more, or they're less. It's just Tosos, if you look over there, the Harbi Malachos, L'chora Nira de Yolef Nami Mi Mishkan, Shari L'kach Nismucha Par Zashar, da 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 da. One second. Is that the Tosos that talks about it? Maybe somewhere else. But anyway, the Maisa says Malacha many, many times. Oh, it was written Chananel, I think. Alright, I'm not gonna find it now. But I think it's written Chananel over there. Yeah, check out the Rabbeinu Chananel. I already wasted enough time, but there are more. But the Maisa, the Rishonim all have different creative answers to that question. But Lamaisa, the amount of times when you count malacha in the Torah, it says 39 times, and that's where you get the 39 malachas from. Tosa says that that Mandamar would also agree that it's based on the Mishkan, because you have other things that you need to know, which is an Av, which is a Toldah, so it's not that he rejects that they come from the Mishkan, but you also have this aspect of 39 times it says the word malacha in the Torah. Okay. Boy, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asked the question. Vayavoa b'isalosos malachto. Right, okay. Well, now that you're telling me that the word malacha counts, so does that one, mimin yonahu olo? Does that pasuk, when Yosef came home to do his work, that pasuk is right before Eshes Potifar, right, seduces him and grabs his clothing, etc., etc. So this is where we're going to see in a second. This is machlokas in terms of what that means. Malachto. What does it mean that Yosef came back to be with her, mamish? Or does it mean that he came home to do his household chores, to do his mamish malacha? So that pasuk, miminyanahu olo, does that count? Is that one of the 39? Amalei baei, v'leisi sefer Torah v'lumnei. So bring a sefer Torah and count. Right, didn't Rabbi Baruch Hanan say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that once this happened, that people, you know, threw down a challenge like that, and they didn't move until they brought a Sefer Torah out and they counted. Right, Rashi actually writes, Lo yadana hecha itmar. I actually have no idea what instance he's talking about. That's what Rashi says. It could be the Indian Vav de Gichon. That I think, if I'm not mistaken, is they said that what's the midpoint in the Torah? Is that what that's talking about? I'm not sure. Okay, Rashi wasn't sure either, but I think that's what the context is. Kol Olecha Gachon, that was in Parsha Shmini. Did we just have that? Where the I think Chazal, the Gemara wonders where the middle of the Torah is. All right, I'm not sure. But anyway, Lamaisa, right? You see that, you know, why don't you just count the words Malach on the Torah? So why did you ask, right, whether Yosef's pasuk is included? So Amalei ki kamasafkali mishum dechtiv. No, I have a different suffik, right? And once you have two suffikos, then you need to know which one is included and which one isn't. Or I guess it's good to know. Vamalacha haisa dayam. Right, that pasuk says that at the end of Sefer Shmos that they basically finished all the malacha, all the giving. What's it called? All the matanas from the people who came to give a trumos to the Mishkan, that was all done. Yeah, that's the topic there. Yeah. Okay. So he had a suffik miminyanahu, whether that was counted as well. V'hakamanda amar lasus trachov nichnas hu odilma v'yoba v'aisa lasus malachtu miminyanahu. Let's slow down a little bit. V'hakamanda amar, and maybe we hold like the guy who says, lasus trachov nichnas, that he went in to do his trachov, meaning to do what he needed to do with Potiphar's wife. Odilma, or maybe, v'yoba v'aisa lasus malachtu, or maybe he came home to do his work miminyanahu. Right, and really, or maybe that counts, meaning he came home to do actual work. And when the pasuk says that the work was completed for the Mishkan, this is what it means. That really the avoda of bringing the matanos was finished, but it's not actually referring to malacha, and therefore it's not included in the 39 counts. All right, Teiku, the Gemara says, we're not sure which one is which. And that's why the Rishonim go have different rules in terms of what's included in. Okay, fine. Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Kamanda Amar Keneged Avodos HaMishkan. We learned a brisa that says that the 39 malachos are like the avodos they had in the Mishkan. The Tanya, like we learned in a brisa, right? And this is certainly the prevailing opinion. All the, you know, Chazal talk about this. Ein chayavim ela al malacha kshekayotze bo haisaba Mishkan. We are only chayav for malacha on Shabbos for malacha that was similarly done in the Mishkan. Haim Zaru, Batem Lo Sizru. They planted, you don't need to plant. You know, they planted things, right? They had, they needed, Rashi says, simanim. You needed dyes, D-Y-E. And you don't get that from a store. You have to grow a plant and dye it. And, you know, whatever color you get out from the plant, you could dye some tcheles, etc., all the other colors that they had. Haim Katsru, Batem Lo Sizru, similarly, they reaped, and you therefore should not reap, right? They're reaping again with the things they planted. Heim halu es akrashim mikarka la'agala. They lifted the krashim, which were the boards that made up the outside of the Mishkan, into the wagons for traveling. And therefore, you should not do that. Meaning, whatever they did in the Mishkan, you should not do. And therefore, you should not move things from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, right? The wagons that were being pulled were considered Rishus HaYachid. They were big enough, certainly. Heim horidu es akrashim me'agala la'karka. They took the krashim off when they stopped from the wagon to the ground. And therefore, atem lo tzitzio me'rishus HaYachid Rishus HaRabim. You shouldn't go from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. Heim otzia me'agala le'agala. They moved the krashim from one wagon to the next. Atem lo tzitzio me'rishus HaYachid Rishus HaYachid. And therefore, you shouldn't go out from one Rishus HaYachid to the next. Gemara asks a question I'm sure you're wondering. Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, my Ovid. What's the problem with going from one Rishus HaYachid to another? And if you have two houses that are connected, it can't go from an apartment building, it can't go from your house to my house. So Abaye Varava, Damar Tevayu, no. Bitema Ravada, Barava, what were they doing? Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, Derech Rishus HaRabid. No, they were going from one wagon to the other, but there was a space in the middle. It wasn't like you were just passing it one from one to the next. They went from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid through the Rishus HaRavim, and that, therefore, is Aser. And then we'll talk about that later in the Masechta. Okay, Rabbosi, have a wonderful Shabbos. Mr. Shem, we'll go weiter in the Heilige Shas tomorrow with Daf Nun.